And welcome back. Lots of emphasis on history this past year as the city observes its 250th anniversary. A new book is out commemorating our history just in time for Christmas. It's titled St. Louis, an Illustrated Timeline, and just as the title suggests, lots of photos and illustrations citing those eras and epics, people and moments that helped make us what we are today. It was compiled by author-historian Carol Shepley, who joins me in studio. Congratulations, Carol. Nice to have you with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Don. It's a pleasure to be here.
This is quite a project. I mean, you've
you've
gone over about 900 years of history, going
yes.
back to Cahokia.
Okay. Yes.
Tell us about putting it together and what was involved.
Well, I had written a book previously about Belle Fountain Cemetery mm-hmm. when it was biographies of people buried in Belle Fountain, but I read lots and lots of histories of St. Louis. So I had a lot of ideas. And the publisher of Verity Press, Josh Stevens, came to me and asked me if I could write a book for the 250th. So that's how it started. But he brought me an example, a timeline of Boston history, and it was very gray, no picture, very few pictures. And each entry was about a paragraph, and there it was like streetcar strikes. And I said, I don't want to write a book like that. St. Louis is a much more fun place than that.
And about researching it, where does one go? Is there a single repository of this information?
No. I mean, but the place I went the most was the archives of the History Museum. And there's a wonderful archivist there, Dennis Northcott, who just gets as excited as I do about finding things. But I went to the Central Library. They had that wonderful St. Louis room. I went to the Mercantile. They have a wealth of information. They have nice archives down at the old courthouse. So, and also the county library has a wonderful history section.
You called it a wide-angle view of our area's history. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, the conventional histories I read mostly had to do with the expansion of business and government and territorial. But to me, what makes the city – that didn't give a real sense of what St. Louis is. What makes the city live and breathe are the artists and the authors and the sports figures and the criminals. I mean, we all read eagerly, the shocking stories of criminals. We like those.
And you actually broke it down that way. I'm looking at the title here, An Illustrated Timeline, Blues, Baseball, Books, Crooks, Civil Rights, and the River.
That is true.
This is probably an unfair question because you went through an awful lot of information. But in your mind, is there a most important moment, a most important person, a most important something that maybe you didn't even realize until you started putting all this together?
That's a really hard question because there's so many people and movements that I love. I put a great deal of emphasis, of course, this dovetails well with Charlie Dooley, on the growth. I have a theme of the growth of the county and the separation of the city and the county. So, I mean, Larry Roos is a really seminal figure to me. He was such a leader. He really went in and cleaned out government, put in civil service requirements. He paved the way for the county's success.
Former county executive, for those who don't remember Larry Roos. No, just want to bring that out. You know, you have a number of segments in the book or portions of the book dealing with race relations, and you listen to Charlie Dooley and how passionate he is about this subject. I'm just wondering, and I'm sure you did this before the Ferguson situation, but it seems to me that there's a lot in your book that kind of predicts a Ferguson in a sense.
You know, it's interesting. I'm sorry that I'm right, but as I was writing it, that was another one of my big themes was St. Louis is a real crucible for the civil rights movement because we're such a blend of North and South. We're Southern, so there always was institutionalized segregation, but we're also Northern, so there have been a lot of advancements. Since Reconstruction, African Americans had the right to vote, which they didn't have in Southern states, so they had political power, so therefore there are lots of Supreme Court cases that advanced civil rights for African Americans that started right here.
Dred Scott, Shelley versus Kramer,
exactly.
Two that come immediately
right.
to mind.
Gaines v. Canada, that's led to Topeka versus Brown versus Topeka Board of Education.
And yet, during the 1960s and the heart of the civil rights movement, the time of the civil rights movement, St. Louis is relatively benign, relatively quiet.
Yeah, interesting. I grew up here. I graduated from high school in 68, and we didn't have race riots the way other cities did.
Jefferson Bank was about the biggest demonstration, I think.
That was very peaceful.
Exactly, exactly.
But again, that advanced important opportunities for African Americans. That Jefferson Bank was a bank where many on the north side banked, and there were no black employees. And so they protested very peacefully, and real leaders in the community got out, and then hiring opened up.
It changed everything, not only in the banks, but throughout the entire metropolitan area.
That's right.
Anything that you didn't know going into this that you found to be a surprise or something you really found interesting?
Well, of course, I love literature, so it was really fun for me. St. Louis has such a rich literary tradition. Sure. So many important literary figures started out here or, you know, grew up here or came here, you know. So that part was really fun for me. Another was Raymond Tucker. My parents are from here, and I remember my mother getting teary about him when he died. He was I think 3 or 4 term mayor. Mm-hmm. But what he did that was really important. So I researched him. St. Louis was one of the most polluted cities in the nation. They talked about the darkness at noon; you could not see, and they had tried smoke abatement for years. But Tucker was a very rare combination of an engineer who had the scientific ability, and he was a real PR person. He understood the media, and he was charismatic, and he galvanized people, so they worked together. And St. Louis was the first major city to, you know, lick the pollution problem, and 96 cities from all over the country came to study what we did here.
Looking at some of your other categories, you mentioned criminals, and we have a fairly rich history in this regard too. Give me some of those that stand out in your mind.
Well, of course, my most favorite is Nellie Munch. She was in the 30s, and the movie or the Broadway show Chicago was partially modeled on her. Mm-hmm. She was a society dame, but as she said herself, she was a hussy at night. She'd go out to roadhouses. She was married to one doctor, having an affair with another, and kidnapped a third. And when they caught her, and she was testifying on the witness stand, she faked pregnancy both to get her lover back and to get the sympathy of the jury. Mm-hmm. And then she adopted, when the time came to deliver, she adopted the baby of an unmarried Irish housemaid. And when that young woman saw her baby in the paper with this notorious criminal, then she sued her to get her back. So it was a really fun story.
What a story. You know, how do you tell all the format of your book is such that you're not spending a whole lot of time on any of these individual episodes? So that's a challenge, I guess, to tell the story and tell it briefly.
It's true. I tried to, you know, I had to be as succinct as possible. And some things that were really important, such as civil rights movement, I dedicated a lot more time to that. But one thing that helped, since it's a timeline, I didn't have to write transitions, so I didn't have to link it all together. That's for the reader to do.
Explain exactly what you mean and how you define timeline, just so folks will understand the format of the book more completely.
Well, if you look at the book, it has the important years in red, and then there will be, you know, a few paragraphs or a whole page of writing about something that happened that year. For instance, you know, 1764, the founding of the city, or, you know, so forth, and, you know.
Yeah. One of the things that I found fascinating about the book was the number of women, important women, and the number of events and things that happened that were inspired by and done by women.
You know, it's interesting. That's another theme. St. Louis has been another place where we've really advanced rights, or for civil rights, or for women as well. And I trace it all the way back to Madame Chouteau, because she was really something else. I mean, she was such a pioneer. You know, she called herself widow, but her husband was still alive. Mm. You know, she lived with her lover.
That has to be unnerving for the husband.
Yes, right. Yeah. And she was a great businesswoman and had a lot of political power in her own way. So she kind of set the trend. We were a huge place for the suffrage movement. There were lots of women's rights that got advanced here, and African-American women's rights. I mean, Annie Malone was one of the first African-American female millionaires, and she started started that with Poro Beauty College and her Poro Cosmetics.
And of course, entertainers, where Josephine Baker
yes.
jumps out. And,
yes.
And entertainers, male and female,
yeah.
very, very rich history
yes.
there. And you get into a lot of that.
Yeah. Josephine Baker is another one of my favorites. Yeah. What a beautiful story her life is. You know.
Except when she came back to St. Louis because she couldn't stay where she wanted to stay.
Right,
and that
right.
was a bit of a problem. I have a caller here who wants to ask a specific question, so let's bring in Richard calling from St. Louis. Richard, go ahead. You're on the air with Carol Shepley. Richard? Hello, Richard. Well, Richard's not there. He wanted to, I think he wanted to ask about Judge Theodore McMillian. And
he's not in there. He probably should be. You know?
Yeah, he maybe well should have been. Sports. Sports is a big part of
sports
one of your subtitles.
Yes.
Where would St. Louis be without its sports?
That's true. And my daughter goes to college in Memphis, and when she's a sophomore, and when we went down as freshmen for Parents Weekend, I mean, we were like celebrities because the 2011 World Series, everybody said that was the most exciting World Series they'd ever seen in their mm-hmm. life. But there's been a real narrative with our sports as well. For instance, the 1964 World Series, we were playing against the Yankee dynasty with Maris and Mantle and Yogi Berra and Whitey Ford. But their owner was really a racist. I mean, he wanted no Negro players on his team, whereas the 1964 Cardinals were successfully integrated. Some of our stars, our biggest stars, Lou Brock, of course, Bob Gibson, and also we had Julian Javier, so we had Hispanics as well, and everyone pulled together. They were friends.
And they were great role models at an important time in our history as well.
That's right.
Yeah. Carol, were you ever able to figure out why we lost out to Chicago? we were supposed to be the big deal in this part of the country,
yeah.
and it didn't turn out that way.
The real problem was I attribute it to the railroads when the Rock Island Bridge, and I can't remember the exact date, but they were able to span the Mississippi, north near Chicago, 20 years, I'm guessing, but something around 20 before the Eads Bridge, and that directed all that traffic to Chicago instead of the railroads going New York, St. Louis, San Francisco like we wanted. Chicago was that middle, any one thing can be.
A lot of people might suggest that St. Louis has had an inferiority complex ever since.
That's true, really, because we were so far ahead and then lost out.
Let's talk for a moment about the World's Fair, because you can't talk much about St. Louis history without getting into that. How important was that? How big a deal was the fair, really?
It was huge. I mean, so many things, it was the first major thing to be electrified, have electric lights. Henry Adams wrote a really patronizing piece about it, how could this little third-rate city, St. Louis, have electricity when, New York and Boston don't. They introduced the typewriter there. The whole world came here. That was one person, a lot too, David Roland Francis, who was such an impresario, who could really draw all of his friends together to work together to make this as great as it was.
Francis Field over at Washington University
exactly.
is named after him. I think he was ambassador to Russia too at some
point,
was he not?
He was ambassador to Russia during the Russian Revolution. And at the time, he said, I'm not going to talk to any damn Bolshevik. He did not trust Lenin from the beginning. And at the time, everybody was like, oh, what's wrong with you? Now he's actually been resurrected as prescient because of that.
Were there any myths that you were able to dispel in the book? Anything like that come along? the kind of thing I'm thinking of is we've always heard that, again, going back to the World's Fair, that the ice cream cone was invented there and that iced tea was invented there. We're doing a program in the near future on famous firsts in St.
Yeah,
Louis.
I don't think that's really true from my research. Yeah. I'm sure they were there, but I don't know that they were invented there.
Uh-huh. What else about the World's Fair can we talk about with regard to, we've heard the story for a long time about Dogtown and called Dogtown because people who were part
eating
of the fair
dogs,
were eating dogs. Get into that sort of thing at all?
A little bit. And the giant Ferris wheel, which they don't know where the axle is. They think mm-hmm. that that's somewhere under, Forest Park.
Yeah.
But the clock that was all made out of flowers. And, of course, our beautiful lagoons, that's where they came from in Forest Park.
What did you not include in the book that you maybe wish you had?
People are always mentioning things. I think, why didn't I do that? Yeah. Why didn't I have The Exorcism or Theodore McMillan, as you say? You know, it's like, there you go.
You have to stop at some point. You just can't go on forever. I know you're going to be, you have a whole list of things, and we can't give the entire list of readings and signings that you're going to be having. I do have one here that we should point out on 7 o'clock on January 15th, the St. Louis County Library headquarters at Lindbergh. Tell us what kind of a presentation you're going to have. We'll have all of these sites, by the way.
Thank you.
At stlpublicradio.org.
Every talk I give, I try and write a different talk. And I might do that one on women's history because that's something that really interests me. I'm working on a talk on literary history. I gave one of that in already, but I want to develop that more. Of course, civil rights, that's a big theme for me. And as I said before, the county, Civil War. St. Louis was so critical to the Civil War. I'd like to talk about that as well, too. So each talk will be a different theme.
Some of these subjects are so big. I mean, I'm sure there's a certain frustration level at not being able to go into a lot more detail about them.
And I always end up researching even more as I because I get interested in.
And when you look back at your book, what's the thing that you enjoy talking about the most?
Oh, gosh. Well, I guess I have to say the literary figures and people like Josephine Baker and Nellie and, Chuck Berry, people that make St. Louis so fun.
It's got a great history, and it's very, very colorful in more ways than one. Carol Shepley, thank you for being with us. The book, once again, is St. Louis, an Illustrated Timeline, Blues, Baseball, Books, Crooks, Civil Rights, and the River. You've got everything covered there. And Carol, once again, is going to be at 7 o'clock on January 15th at the St. Louis County Library headquarters in Clayton. Lots of luck with the book. It's a lot of fun to look at and read and pour through. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you so much.
Happy holidays to you. And we'll ask you to join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape when he'll talk about the Bach Society of St. Louis's Candlelight Christmas Concert, also with a young St. Louisan about her role in the Broadway touring production of A Christmas Story, the musical at the Fox. And then he'll take a look at the RFT's list of the best Christmas songs performed by St. Louis artists. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about the importance of preserving family stories and about how the Granny Annie Family Story Celebration encourages young writers to do so. Archived versions of the program available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. This program is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Erica Smith, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Have a nice weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm Don Marsh.